Stinky though?
I'll tell him put on deodorant. Then he won't be stinky. Or so I hope. Maybe. Yeah, he's gonna be stinky. Alright, welcome everyone to First Off, a weekly show discussing being married with children, raising kids in this day and age, musing whether or not our challenges are different from those that come before us. My name is Joseph Vivens, and I'm sitting here with my tangerine clementine eating wife. You want me to say it for you? Or do you want to finish chewing first? She said, I'm ready. So I said, okay.
I'm doing the best that I can
and
do.
And I hit record. We got to eat and run out here in these streets.
Whew. I'm Sedona Vivens.
Hello, love. How are you today?
Good. I'm good. All right.
I say that as if I didn't wake up by your bedside this morning.
Oh, my God.
Like asking you how you
by my today. Bedside? On your, but that means on, you were outside of the bed.
I was watching waiting, you sleep.
Waiting for me to open my eyes and say,
watching you sleep. Hi. How are you today? Are you having a good morning? Oh, no. That just sounds like a creeper. Mm. You doing okay?
I'm doing all right. I told you about this dream I had last night. It's really been kind of...
It's been bothering you?
Not bothering. Just kind of like... It's funny. Mm. So the dream was... I woke myself up from the dream. But I was up on stage doing a stand-up comedy routine. I can't even say it's a routine because I feel like when I was up on the stage in my dream, I was winging it and like, oh, I got this. I can do it. And it was horrible. Like I did a really bad job. Like all my family and friends were there in the front row, like happy and excited to see me. But then
You didn't deliver?
Woo! I started out with a few like quippy jokes and got a little bit of laughter from the front, but the front was my family and friends. And then I started to do crowd work, like asking questions of where do you work to try to impact that. I was like ripping. And instead of me holding the microphone in front of my face to respond to their career, I was holding it in front of their face. And I just happened to pick people that were long-winded with what their career was. So then it became not funny. And if I became then a news reporter more than a stand-up comedian. And I had some way.
So you went from doing stand-up to being an interviewer?
To being a bad newscaster out in the field. And somehow I had worked myself away from the main stage of doing the stand-up routine to like somewhere else in the building. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually worked my way back after somebody had said all the many jobs and all the intricacies of those jobs and how that was not funny at all. And I had no correspondence to what they had to say. And I worked myself back to the stage. I gave a few like statements that again were not funny. And I looked at the audience and it was not filled with my family and friends anymore. I had totally dispersed. Like people could still hear what my, I guess, monologue or whatever my dialogue was with those different people about their jobs, but they were unenthused and unengaged. And so they left the main stage area. And so then I went off and I heard a few little claps as I left off. And you, I guess, played the role of my manager or some kind of promo man. And you were like, that was not good.
I'm here to hold you down, man.
You were like, that was not good. That was horrible.
I'm sure if you continued the dream, I would have been there and said, okay, let's see how we can improve.
Yes, yes. And
because that's what I would say.
I tried to come up with some excuse for it. Like, it was a weird microphone because when I looked at the microphone at the time and even when I was telling you the excuse as to why I didn't do well, I was like, the microphone was like in the shape of a muffin. Like how am I supposed to hold
fact,
that?
I like the fact that the microphone is the right.
It's the problem.
It's the problem.
Not my interview.
Not the words that are coming out of the microphone. None of that.
No.
Not me.
I'm not the problem.
Couldn't
my
possibly
words are not
be.
The problem.
No.
It's the media in which I receive and
the tool that you were using.
And all your response was to me say that the microphone was the issue. That was really bad. And then you said,
keep it a buck with you in your dreams and in real life.
And then you said, we're just going to blame it on traveling. You know, like you had jet lag and I don't know where we would have traveled from or whatever. But you, as my manager promo person,
you know what it,
you
know
had
what
an
it
excuse
is?
And you're like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be good the next time around.
In your dream, you probably are like a touring stand-up comedian.
Oh.
That's probably what it is in your dream. This is the backstory for your dream.
Oh, okay.
Your origin story. Your dream story. You were a stand-up comedian. I was your manager. And you just had an off night.
Maybe that was my past life.
How could it be your past life? Unless, well, see, now you dip it into territories in my new book.
Okay.
See, you can't be doing that.
I didn't know anything about that.
You can't do that.
I didn't know anything
you can't
about
do that.
That. But
how's
I thought it was...
Life? How's your past life? Because, like, what...
That, like, that happened, really, when in my past life.
What did
life
it look like?
What do you mean?
What did the dream look like? Like, what was the setting? Like, was it in the 40s, 50s?
I don't recall. I don't recall.
So that's why I'm saying, how could it be your past life?
It could be my past life because I'm saying it's my past life.
Fair enough. I mean, it is your imagination and it is your dream, so.
I bombed that
or nightmare.
I bombed that night.
You did.
I bombed that night.
Well, I'm going to tell you what happened.
Okay.
You had some really bad traveling.
Okay.
You were exhausted.
Okay.
And you just weren't on your game that night.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So next time you hit the stage, you're just going to do a spectacular job.
I'm going to make sure that I don't give the microphone to the people
just
who
keep
I do
the microphone
crowd
to
work.
Yourself.
Just keep the microphone
no
to
crowd
myself.
Work.
I'm learning. So that still is resonating with me from today, even though I woke up and...
Should I talk about my dream?
If you want to.
There's not really much that happened in it, other than the fact that I walked into a cafe and Chadwick Boseman was sitting at a table, and about 5 feet away from him was Michael B. Jordan.
They're not at the same table.
They weren't at the same table. They were just two tables apart, and Chadwick was sitting there, and I went up to him and told him how much I admired and loved his work. And he just nodded and just seemed kind of like down, and like not really engaging. And I was just like, okay, I'm gonna leave you alone. Then I went over to Michael B. Jordan, super hyped, like, yo, let's chat. Like, both of you are sitting feet away from each other. How come you're not sitting there? And he was just like, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. So, Michael B. Jordan, if you're out there, you were in my dreams. I'm gonna need you to explain to me what you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little awkward telling another man he was in my dreams. Huh? Yeah.
Sweet dreams, I'm healthy.
Yeah. But anyway,
who am I?
I guess I'm supposed to meet Michael B. Jordan somehow, somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's my takeaway from my dream. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's my takeaway? I got to work on my content and my bits.
You got to step your crowd work game up. Like your stand-up, you had some laughter during your stand-up, but your crowd work, your crowd work needs some fine-tuning.
That's deep.
Crowd work.
My crowd work.
There you go. Okay, so welcome to the show, everyone. That was the merit of banter of our just kidding. So today we are here to talk about our parenting. Welcome to First Off. Thank you so much for listening. First off, let's talk about our parenting score. Let's go there first.
Parenting score this week.
Yeah, what's your mama score this week?
My mama score. We just celebrated a preteen birthday about yesterday. So for the last week or so, we've been deep in planning and organizing and making sure that the house and the festivities were up to par for this preteen.
We are almost out of the tween years.
Oh, goodness. And I think it went well. I think that the party went well. I think the lead up to the party went well. I think that he had an awesome day yesterday.
Agreed.
I think that I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, nice. Good on you.
I worked hard on communication and planning this and
good
ensuring
on you
that we had the foods and the drinks and the,
you did
the
peoples,
and I didn't stress anybody out. I feel like I've gotten better with having parties.
Party planning?
No. Having parties at the house.
You have your moments.
That don't result in me chopping somebody's head off in the process.
You had a couple moments yesterday where I was just like, what? What's happening right now? But other than that, you are doing.
But it could be. It was.
It's
I feel
usually
like it's
worse.
Yes.
It's usually worse.
Yes.
Yeah. It's usually worse.
#therapy. Thank you.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Accept it. I accept it. What was a highlight for you?
Seeing the boys happy, playing.
Yeah.
Excited voices. Yeah. Excited to be around each other. Yeah. Just joy.
Yeah.
Childhood joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And knowing I played a part, not a large part, but just a part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And them being joyful and happy.
Yeah.
Kids deserve to be joyful and happy.
They should be joyful and happy. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Mm.
What about you? What's your papa score?
My papa score for this week. I think we did well as hosts. I think I contributed in his happiness. I think also, and I think we did a good job with communicating with Evie, her expectations, you know, not to try to dominate and
be an annoying
little sister, even though in so many ways he welcomed that. You know, that's his partner in crime. But, you know, we wanted to make sure that it was his day and that he was the center of attention. So I think we communicated that well. Other than that, I think, other than not really getting much sleep.
Because
the boys were boys. They were having a blast. I think I'll give myself a 7. I'll give myself a 7. Because we kept them engaged, kept them entertained.
What 7?
I'm explaining.
Oh, okay.
We kept them engaged, kept them entertained. I think that I don't think I was as present as I could have been.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's just because I was just in a haze from trying to catch up on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday was just kind of sped by. I feel kind of bad sleeping through most of his birthday. But, you know, that's par for the course, because when he was born, I didn't sleep that well either, so...
Don't talk about sleep during childbirth, okay? This child was 9 pounds.
But he had a good birthday and he was very happy.
Yeah. And he said he just wanted to relax and chill. Like, he had the opportunity to get new shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, no, nah, I'm going to go home.
I just want to be calm.
Yeah, he's maturing. His speech last night was so wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, very heartwarming and touching. I was just like, this guy's growing up to be a young man.
We didn't videotape or record
any of it. Nope, we were in the moment. We were in the moment. That's all that mattered. Yeah. Not everything needs to be documented.
That's true.
Some things you can just take into the heart instead of putting it on wax or on camera or on digital.
Yeah.
Leaving it in the cloud to be forgotten.
No, we're not going to forget that. Mm. You mean the mental cloud.
We put it in the cloud.
I see.
Yeah. Instead of to putting it forgotten. In the cloud.
Okay. But now.
Yeah. Now it's in our minds. Memories. It's our core memory.
Yeah.
You know, not behind a lens, not behind a screen. Live and direct.
Live and direct.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. A parenting question of the week. Do you have a question for me? Okay, let's skip that. Let's go to screen time.
We can talk about the current
event. Oh, okay. Let's talk about...
Start with.
Oh, well, you jumped into your dream.
Oh, well.
So, current events.
What's Sedona. Going on in the news?
Sedona, what's going on in the news? Can I talk about what's bothering me this week?
Sure.
Or what's piqued my interest this week? Yeah. Actually, it's actually for the last 3 weeks. It's been living rent-free in my head. But this week, I feel like it's a culmination that I did not see happening, but I understand at the same time.
Hmm.
Kendrick Lamar, almost 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago tomorrow, released a verse on Future and Metro Boomin's album on a song called Like That. And in the song, he is dissing J. Cole and Drake. And that is a response to their song First Person Shooter. And as a hip-hop fan, and when I say a hip-hop fan, I mean I'm all about the culture, specifically the four elements of hip-hop. Breaking, graphing, DJing, and MCing. Like, I love that. I love that culture and all that it represents. I can go on about it. But as a hip-hop fan, this was like, it was a dream. It was so amazing to hear, so remarkable to hear one of the best to do it just kind of lay it out bare and analyzing it, scrutinizing it, and listen to it over and over, and just hearing how magical it is to hear somebody use their instrument to to really elevate an art form just made me feel so excited. And I was anticipating, much like everybody else, a response from the two other guys. And this is what's bothering me this week. Because last week, J. Cole, on, I think it was last week Sunday, he was just like, or this past Sunday, he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do anything else. He responded and just kind of fell back.
And was he like, apologized.
And he apologized. And he said, you know, it didn't sit right with me. You know, as far as my spirit, it didn't sit right with me. And this is why it's been bothering me, because I'm of two minds. I get it. I understand, like, you know, your mental health comes first. You want to make sure that you take care of your spirit above anything else. You do not want to do anything or put out energy that you feel like is negative and that is harmful to who you are and who you are becoming. If you are on God's path and you feel you are on God's path and you're straying away from that, you have every right to take a detour and say, you know what? I got off the path. I need to get back on track so I can make sure that my mind and spirit is right. And I'm such a fan of this art form that I was so looking forward to him.
The rebuttal.
I mean, his rebuttal was decent, but I was just like, oh, okay, this is the beginning. This is him.
You waiting for the no Vaseline?
This is him. I was waiting for the no Vaseline. Like, I wanted him to go in. I was there. I was ready. I was excited.
Do you think that Drake will respond?
I don't think so. Ooh. I don't think so.
And if he does respond, do you think his is going to be a rebuttal? Or do you think he's just going to go radio silent?
I think he'll do subliminals. I don't think he'll address it directly. And I think the reason why, I mean, no disrespect to Drake, Kendrick is a monster. Like, delivery wise, he can say anything, and if his delivery is on point, it's going to sound amazing. And proof in point, if you write down the lyrics to his the lyrics to Like That, like his verse to Like That, if you write it down and you read it without any inflection, without any hype behind it, you're gonna see that the lyrics aren't anything spectacular. Like, he's not saying anything where you're like, oh my God. Like, reading it is different than hearing him do it. And nobody can mess with Kendrick's delivery. You know, it's the same thing with Eminem. Like, you hear some of the things Eminem says versus the way he says it. It's most of the time, it's the way that he's saying it that makes you go like, oh, snap. And, you know, that's like the magic trick about hip hop. Big, when he was trying to teach Lil C's how to rhyme, Lil C's was like, I don't know how to rap. Like, that's your thing. I don't know how to rap. And Big told him, he was like, it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. You know what I mean? Like, you put that inflection, you put that attitude, you put that oomph behind it, then it's over. Now, the thing with Kendrick is that he has the lyrics too. Like what he did on Like That was just kind of like I'm jabbing you right now.
Yeah.
And his jab, like, hurt. You know, like, that song lived rent-free in my head. Though, first time I heard it, I was like, this guy is ridiculous. And it's like, the song's not even about me, and it lived rent free in my head, so I can only imagine what it's doing to his two targets. But like, him doing that, it was just light jabs. Like, he had his punchlines in there, they were deep and it sounded effortless. And so it's just like, so long story short, Drake, I hope he does respond, because I think Drake is super talented. I have other thoughts about Drake that I'll share privately, because, you know, I think that he's very, the line that I'm going to toe is that I think he's very talented. As it pertains to Kendrick, I don't think he holds a candle. I think he's super talented, but there are two different vibes of the hip hop spectrum. And the spectrum that Kendrick is on is not the spectrum Drake is on. And it would lead to a divided fan base, but ultimately, at the end of the day, there has to be a winner. And so, yeah, I feel like it's a foregone conclusion. Yeah.
Can I, as you talk about media, entertainment, I'm going to switch a little bit to health.
Okay.
So you already know my main career.
You already know.
Is cancer research. I'm an oncologist. I am a cancer researcher. I investigate things all related to a certain type of cancer, brain cancer. Cancer has affected me. cancer has affected my family. Cancer has affected my friends. There is no overall one set cure, black or white, for cancer. Different cancers have different therapies. Mm. We learned today that a big person in entertainment and sports died from cancer. And I resonate in the context of losing a loved one, my mother specifically to cancer, my aunt to cancer, my patients to cancer. So I feel bad and sad for that family, yet the person who died from cancer today was O.J. Simpson. So I read that, I saw that, I received that. And my first question group chat was, where's OJ going? Did OJ go to heaven or hell? Do you remember where you were when you found the news about the not guilty verdict?
You asked me that earlier, and I can't remember.
I was in science class. I can't remember. And instead of us doing science in the science class that I loved, there was a...
Bring the cart.
TV had the VCR, or was it the VCR connected to the TV?
Yeah, sometimes it was part of it.
And they had the news on. Like, everybody knew that at that time, on that day, the verdict was going to come back on whether or not he was found guilty or not guilty. The glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Johnny Cochran, just superstar lawyer. Just so you had the divide of the black community rooting for OJ. Mm-hmm. Not wanting to say whether or not we felt he was guilty or not, but still rooting like, LAPD is racist. Discriminating. Yeah, they planted this, they planted that. That's what they do to us. And then the white community, like, he clearly is guilty.
Right.
So we were in science class. We were all watching, and we heard the statement of him not guilty. And I can recall that the black people in my class were like, the white students, one white female in particular, this is me in high school. Oh my God, he's so guilty! I remember us rejoicing and even coming home from school that day and speaking with my family, and it was kind of like, at least we won. One out of so many times where we have not won.
Goodness gracious.
And it wasn't on the... we think that he didn't do it. It was, we have always been painted in a negative way. We've always been found guilty.
Yeah. For the most part. So there is this book written by Ida B. Wells. It's less of a book. It's more of a record, and it's literally called The Red Record. And it is a historical account of all the black people that were effectively lynched. And she did it, I want to say it's like, she documented from the late 19th century all the way up until like the 40s or something like that. I can't remember. But that historical account is part of the reason why black people were celebrating that day. Because too often black people were accused of murdering, killing, raping, just all of it. I mean, there's a part in the Red Record where they killed a man because he was acting crazy. Like, he had mental health disease.
And that so happens. Today. That has
happened today. I know, that's what I'm saying. So it's like the black people were less celebrating
him,
but more the fact that here is somebody who, by all accounts, should, in their eyes, should be killed, should be under the needle, and he used their system against them. He used his wealth, influence, and power the same exact way that they have done for many years, and he won. And sad to say,
it was so unfathomable. It's
like in any other circumstance, even to this day, to this very moment, this, even though that happened almost 30 years ago, even to this day, if a black man is caught up in any kind of situation we are certain that he's going to end up incarcerated. And so for him, he became like the poster boy of...
He got off.
He got off. He got off. That's what wealth and power does.
Even during that time, it was like, you get in trouble. It wasn't me. It wasn't my family. But it was like, oh, someone's going to... They need to call Johnny Cochran.
Right.
They're going to get off if they call Johnny Cochran. Right. And the go-to.
And you know who did it? Diddy. Diddy did it. He called Cochran when he got into trouble.
Oh, when was this?
When he got into the shootout. Remember with J-Lo and stuff?
Yes.
He had Cochran come and represent him. And he got off. Wealth and power.
Cochran's not around these days.
No. No. And Diddy did it.
Oops.
I mean, it's kind of hard to deny the overwhelming, you know. Sorry.
Allegedly, Diddy. They say.
Allegedly. Yes, Diddy allegedly did it. Allegedly. I'll stop it there. But yeah, but no, I think that's the reason. I mean, in my opinion, that is the reason why people rejoice that day.
Yeah.
And why white people could not understand why he got off is because, well, if you don't understand how he got off, you haven't been paying attention.
Right.
Like, we've been, the way that you feel today right. is the way that
every
we've been feeling
time.
For yes. years.
Every single time.
Years. The lady every that, the lady time. That had got Emmett Till killed on her deathbed after living a long,
she said, oh,
beautiful
I
life.
I
but she lived a wonderful life, such a wonderful life, on her deathbed said she lied. So, you can't be mad at OJ. God rest the souls of the people that were killed. I am always going to toe the line that I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I do not know what happened. But, and the evidence was what it was. I wasn't on the jury. My thing is that OJ got off. The jury found him innocent. Therefore, OJ's innocent. That's the line I'm always going to toe. You can ask me on my deathbed like that Emmett Till lady what my thoughts are, and I'll let you know.
And the sad circumstances, there were two human beings that died. And still to this day, we don't, I'm putting in quotations, we don't know who killed them.
I don't need quotations. It wasn't OJ because the jury said it wasn't him.
Oh, gosh.
I mean.
Again, it goes back to my question, where is OJ? Where did OJ go to?
It's not for me to call.
And it's not for me to call either.
But you're curious.
That was my first.
You're curious.
That was
you're
my
like,
first.
I wonder.
That was my first question in the family chat.
So that's a deep question.
And
because
this is me. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
that goes to you saying, did he, like, that goes to you asking whether or not he did it or not. Because you don't know.
Correct.
You don't know.
Correct. And if he did those actions in that point of era in his timeline of life
mm-hmm.
dictate him at the very end?
Mm-hmm. Like, did he repent at the end?
Was he forgiven?
Hmm. That's deep.
And if he didn't do it, did he have some interaction with who did do it and knows, you know, and remember he wrote that whole book, If I Did It, This Is How It Would Have Been Done, and
stop.
It couldn't go, you're laughing, that,
I remember that,
that's sad.
Did you see the clip that I sent you from
yes.
That podcast? Like,
yes.
It's just, it's, like, he told that line really well, I'll say that much, he knew how to play the media, how to play the public. And you know, in so many ways, you could say that
he was an entertainer.
He's a product of Hollywood.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, he's a product of Hollywood.
Now, did we love him in Naked Gun? Yes.
Oh yeah, I thought he was awesome in Naked Gun. That's the first time I ever seen him. I did not know about his football career until everything else happened. Mm. I always thought, like, growing up,
yeah,
I thought he was an actor.
When we were younger,
yeah,
he was
wasn't
an
a
actor.
Football player. Yeah.
He had already kind of retired. From
yeah,
that
yeah.
Phase
so to
life.
Me, he was always that funny guy from Naked Gun, and
yeah.
I thought he was hilarious.
He was like a dope. In
yeah,
that
and
he
was
like
always
stupid.
And was
know?
Always getting beat up, not beat up, but always getting tossed around. Like,
yes.
I thought he was hilarious in
yes.
that.
And well, I was, would always say, if you're running through the airport, you're running like OJ.
OJ, right, because of the Hertz commercials.
Yep. Yep.
But what I do remember, I don't remember the verdict, but I do remember the Bronco. I do remember that because I remember we came, my family and I, we came home. And when we got there, we turned on the TV and there was a white truck flying across the screen. And
yeah.
I was like, what is going on?
I was watching a murder mystery show.
Oh, and the
because that was my thing.
So you never found out?
I never found out who did it.
Oh, my goodness.
Did it. I don't ever recall seeing what show a rerun it? Of it.
What show was it?
Was it Murphy's?
We need to fire up Peacock, Paramount Plus. Yes, we need to Apple TV it. Something.
Because like that's my one of my guilty pleasures. If it's not comedy, then it's murder mystery.
And the I'm reason like, why I'm reacting is because I know it's been torturing you. Like we need to find this show so you can know who did it. We need to know. See that's the theme. Not the theme. That's the narrative for this episode. Mm. Did he do it?
Did he do it?
Because you don't know if OJ, and you're wondering if God made his judgment or her judgment, if God made their judgment, and you don't know what happened on that TV show you were watching.
Yeah.
You got a lot of OJ trauma. Yeah. Like, OJ's so messing with you right now.
It was the murder mystery. Come on, viewers, listeners. It was the murder mystery. It was a brought back to life show where the guy used to drive a Bentley, but okay. He also was like a detective. I think it was like Murphy's Law.
Okay. This sounds like a Google search waiting to
happen. Oh my goodness. It used to come out at the same, or before or after Diagnosis Murder. Okay. You know the one with Rip Van Winkle?
Yeah, oh yeah. Rob.
Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke, yes. So, you're picking up that joke, the Rob Van Winkle joke? Never mind, forget it. Go ahead.
So it used to come, that was the two murder mystery shows back to back.
Yes.
On a Friday night.
Yeah.
I used to watch with my mom, sometimes dad would pop in, but it's like, we used to, oh, so-and-so did it, you know, like.
Yes, yeah.
And so we have to interrupt your regularly scheduled program. O.J. Simpson is in this white Bronco. I'm just like.
I don't care about O.J.
Oh, my God. We think maybe he has a gun, but we're not sure.
Yes.
He's heading to the airport, but maybe he's not. He's on the run. We're going to see if we can catch him.
Mm. That was true reality TV. Oof. Right there. And that's like, that was like the era of like Cops. And you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like, you were enthralled because now it's a celebrity.
Yes.
It wasn't like an everyday person.
And is something going to happen? What's going to happen? Are the police going to catch him?
Oof.
And then is the guy who's driving his best friend going to get in, you know, trouble?
And part of me, I remember thinking like he was going to get shot because like there were so many cops behind him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I really.
The helicopter's so set and ready to like.
I think that's LA.
It was like 20 minutes.
I think that's LA. They always have like car chases and stuff on TV.
So they've done away with that. You know that's now illegal for cops to chase because it just becomes so dangerous.
I didn't know that.
Yep, it's no longer a thing because it's more harmful than
than good.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Okay, all right, moving on. Rest in power, OJ. Wherever you are, we hope that your family. We hope that your family finds peace, and that your children are well. That's my hope. It's what is it? Keanu Reeves, Stephen Colbert asked Keanu Reeves one day. He said, "What do you think happens when you die?" And Keanu Reeves answered, "The people you left behind will miss you." And so, to the people that he left behind, I'm sure you miss them. Mm-hmm. Moving on, screen time.
What are we watching right now?
No, let's talk about what I watched and what
I abandoned
didn't finish.
I abandoned ship.
So,
but I'm excited for what we started watching.
Yeah. We did. We could talk about that next time.
Okay,
but let's focus on on Three Body Problem.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
As you start, I said this yesterday. There are certain shows, we like sci-fi shows.
Yes.
You definitely like sci-fi even more than me.
Absolutely.
As I stated earlier,
mystery.
My thing is murder mystery.
I like all genres, but like I do lean sci-fi.
And comedy.
And
I do like sci-fi. Like Quantum Leap is my favorite show of all time. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely sci-fi. And comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of murder mystery.
That's
really why I'm like, It was everything.
It wasn't always murder mystery.
No,
sometimes
no, no.
It was like,
but it was
solve the problem. What do we need to do to figure it out?
So I can leap, and hoping that the next leap will be the
leap
home.
Yes, of course.
So I like the sci-fi shows that get me energized and excited, and like, oh, what do you think is going to happen next episode? Mm-hmm. What about so and so interacting? Is there a reason why he dropped that pen? Because then it's gonna. And so I felt in the very first episodes of Three Body Problem how I felt in the first 2 to 3 episodes of the show Heroes that came on NBC.
Oh, and yes.
There was so much
excitement
around that. But just even watching that show, I was watching that show during medical school and I didn't have time to go. But yet it was exciting week to week to watch what was going to happen. Are they going to save the cheerleader? Are they going to save the world? Yeah. What about this nasty, you know, character and the bad guy, Sylar, blah, 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 blah. So that's how I felt in the very beginning of Three Body Problem.
Three Body Problem.
And as it started to move along after episode 3...
You fell asleep.
I didn't immediately fall asleep. But I felt myself getting less and less excited about the interaction and the conclusion of that interaction and the dialogue. And so, yes, I think it was episode 4 to 5 that I was like, you don't have to wake me back up. Like, so then for me to hear your takeaway from then completing it, I was okay with falling asleep.
Yeah, I was like, you don't need to finish it.
My sleep barometer knew that my sleep was more necessary
than the show.
I had a one body problem. I resolved that one body like a sleep problem. For you to stay awake.
And now I got a two body problem. My body too tired. The show is too boring.
What are you talking about?
This show is too boring. Yes. This show is too boring.
Not me. NMP, not my problem.
This show should have ended 2 episodes earlier.
Should have ended when I fell asleep.
So I as a writer, I like 100% empathize with writers. And so whenever Sadana says that something is boring or something, I always talk my way into being like, no, you have to understand this. You have to understand that. Because I pay attention to the inner workings. For her, it's just like, it's whack. It's boring. It's just
whack. I will go a little bit more into
Yeah, you will go. There. You will. Yes, you will. Admittedly, you absolutely do.
And I fall asleep.
And you fall asleep. And so for me, I appreciate character development. And I love character development. I like watching characters go from point A to point B. And at certain points in the show, the characters were stuck in point A. And I was just like, okay, well, something is going to instigate something else happening. And they were still stuck in point A. And I'm like, please get to point B eventually. And the characters that got to point B, it wasn't very satisfying that they got to point B. It was just like, you're doing it, but you're just doing it. You're not doing it with purpose. You're not doing it with reason. And so I barreled through the show because I was just like, okay, there's going to be something that happened. And when the show ended, I was like, that's it. And that is the worst feeling for me because that's an investment of time. And it's sometimes emotional investment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And excitement in the very beginning.
And excitement. And
it's like you have a little bit of time at the end of the day.
That's
it. This is how I'd like to spend it.
I want to spend it with these people so I can understand, so I can see what happens to these people because these people, I'm caring for these people. They're not consuming my entire day and night, but for the 1 hour that I sit in front of my TV to watch their lives, I'm invested. And I was just like, I want this time back. Or I would like it to end a little bit sooner. Because the show ended on such a flat, low note that I was just like, oof, Game of Thrones, guys, y'all did it again. Y'all did it again. And I like those guys. I think that they're talented when they're working with the material. But for this show, like, they just kind of like dropped the ball at the end. And the stakes just kind of fell flat. Usually with shows like that, the penultimate episode sets the tone for the finale. And when you hit the finale, you're like, whew, okay, I'm happy they got through it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get that feeling. There was no cathartic moment where I was just like, okay, we made it through. Now I'm ready for season 2. I am definitely not going to watch season 2 of that show. I have no desire.
There's something to be said about the BBC or the UK shows that are
limited
have terminal
series.
Ending.
Yeah.
Like they have 6 and we're done, 8 and we're done, 10 max and we're done.
Yeah.
And you feel a sense of Character development.
We did it.
You told me what the plot was.
Right.
We had some resolution.
Right.
Maybe somebody died. Maybe somebody didn't.
So I think the biggest problem with the show is that it's based on a book, which is all well and good. But what they did is that they leaned heavily on the people that knew the book to fill in the blanks for the audience. And for really, really good adaptations, you're catering to both sides of the coin. Like, you're able to cater to the fans of the original, of the source material, and you're able to cater to the new audience.
Yeah.
And there were times where it's like character motivations, I was just like, yeah, I'm not seeing this.
Yeah.
And events that were happening, I was like, I feel like I missed something. There's something missing here. And I think everybody that worked on the show knew the book so well that they forgot about the people that did not know the book.
Interesting.
And so one of the best adaptations I think I've ever seen on the screen is American Fiction. Because it does the work of both to the point where it's like the book will complement the movie and the movie will complement the book. And to me, that's what it's supposed to do. Now, given, I do actually want to read.
It's not a sci-fi book.
It's not a sci-fi book at all.
So, but I feel like there is an extra layer of difficulty and challenge.
Yeah.
When you have a sci-fi, like these people on this show, this three by, they had to explain physics to a common everyday person who doesn't do physics.
Yeah.
I understood it and still was questioning like, "How is that going to work?" So I feel like had I read the book, or if I am to pick up the book, they probably would do a more
thorough,
and maybe make me understand it a little bit more. But definitely on the show, it's like, how is that going to work? Like, even the way that she drew it and explained it,
right?
The people in the room were like, yeah, that could work, but
yeah.
I was like, that's not going to work.
So, like, for those that have not seen it, it is a plan that they have to get a rocket ship to a certain destination.
Far, far away.
And I think, like, I enjoy, this is weird, but I enjoy reading books about theoretical physics. I will, at times, watch YouTube clips about theoretical physics and quantum mechanics and things like that. And so, like, even watching that, I was just like, okay, I'm going to put my disbelief aside and just pay attention to the show. And for a show that really dives deep into, like, and brings in real world assets, like the CERN, you know what I mean? Like, and discuss theoretical physics from physicists that we are familiar with. It just kind of like slapped you in the face where you're just like, that's the plan? Like, that's what you want to do? Okay.
It's like me watching those medical dramas medical comedies.
One of my favorite things.
That's not real. That's not how it happens.
It's my favorite.
I told you my mom used to watch Grey's Anatomy heavily. And so I was about to start my rotations and work in the hospital and spend overnight on call. And she was like, be careful in those call rooms. People have sex in those call rooms. Like, mom, I'd be grateful if I even get to step foot and even sit down or lay down during my call night, let alone have sex. So TV dramas and movie dramas are not real life. It'd be interesting to have a conversation with somebody who's a true physicist who could watch that show and try to get their take.
They probably won't even want to start. They'll just be like, just read the books. Just don't even watch it. But I love premises like that and shows like that because it stokes a curious mind. Because we don't know what would happen if the situation in Three Body Problem were to happen to us. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating to see. It's fascinating to read. And the show isn't good.
It's not good. To you, your personal opinion.
To me. I'm curious for anybody who's listening. I'm curious if you are a fan of this show. What are your thoughts on it?
Did they get through the whole thing? Did
you get through the whole thing, or did you fall asleep? Yes. Okay. So, with that said, I think we're good. We should go get our kids.
Who?
Yeah. You know the reason why we started this podcast.
Yes.
What are they watching? They love Bluey.
They love Bluey.
And I love like Bluey too.
Such
like
fondness of the moral of the story, and like, oh,
and like he like it warms
really
his heart.
Sentimental.
It warms his heart. It warms me too. But it's so funny. I like every time I hear the dad, I'm like, is that me talking? Because like everything he says and all the games they play, I'm just like watching it. I'm like, that's why the kids watch it. They're probably like, Daddy used to play with us like this.
The
way that he interacts with them, it's just
sarcastic.
Oh my god! Like I'm just like that. I laugh every time because I'm like, that's exactly what I would say. That's exactly what I would say. So the guy that created Bluey, holla at me, man. I got more material for you.
How do you know it's a man?
It is a man. Looked it up. Okay. We could do Tui. We could work on Tui. It's the teenage years of Bluey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You like that, right? Mm-hmm. You like that, right? Mm-hmm. See? I told you. I got you.
You got it.
But yeah, that's what the kids are watching. Outside of that, we're still struggling to keep them away from YouTube and TikTok.
Yes. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck to you guys out there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please visit us at areyouafanyet.com and follow us on all our socials that you will be able to find on that platform.
You'll actually be able to see us and interact.
Yeah.
And if you want to do a live with us, just jump on it.
Jump on
and
in.
Wave and ask to join in.
Yeah, you'll be able to see us on Instagram Live, and just feel free to add yourself and we'll be more than happy to chit-chat with you as long as you're somebody that is not going to be inappropriate.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Let's be kind. I'm gonna have to come with my people's elbow.
Then your people's elbow. That's all I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Can you spell?
The mama belt. The mama elbow. The mama elbow. That's what you call it. Thank you guys so much for listening. You have a wonderful week.
Thank you.